C-168. Number 7B.
Way back, many decades back, I was sitting over the textbook and reading this textbook and studying the textbook. I was studying the term science all through the textbook at that time to get hold of what Mrs. Eddy meant with her concept of science. And every time when I came to a certain statement on science, I halted and I had a big question mark. It was that statement on page 224 in the textbook, line 4, where she says, "As the crude footprints in the past disappear from the dissolving past of the present," yet past, the present, and therefore indicating the future. So when the crude footprints of the past disappeared before the dissolving past of the present, something is moving, we shall better understand the science which govern these changes and shall plant our feet on firmer ground. So I said to myself, Mrs. Eddy teaches many sciences. She speaks about the science of mind, the science of spirit, about the science of life, the science of love. She speaks about the science of the Christ. She speaks about the science of Christianity. She speaks about Christian science, divine science, science itself. She speaks about the science of marriage and the science of this and the science of that, the science of physical harmony, the science of spiritual harmony, the science of that. All that I could more or less grasp or feel, yes, that is natural. But the science that govern changes. Science usually, in the old sense, was contemplating something that was changeless and was considering what constitutes that proposition and was investigating that proposition. But here suddenly you have the science of changes. Is there a science of changes? That bothered me. And it bothered me for a long time. Bothered me over about 2 or 3 decades, until I came to the point of structuralism, and I began to see what structuralism is, and when Piaget was substantiating the term of structuralism as saying there are 3 points, wholeness, transformation as a third, he would say, again I must look in my notes, the third is the idea of self-regulation. Well, self-regulation is naturally a science that governs changes. You have to regulate the situation that is constantly getting out of balance, and you have to regulate it so that it doesn't get out of balance, so that it stays what it should be, so that apparently there are interference factors that always interfere into a balanced state of things, and so there must be a science that governs this harmony, that balance, so that the balance doesn't get out of balance, so that interference factors are taken care of, so that I can't put the balance out of balance, so that with the science that governs these changes, we could have, so to say, a homeostasis, therefore a state that is always remaining the same, or even a homeorese. Rese means flowing, so that the flow of something that develops is kept into balance, that the homeorese, that the flow is not overflowing the borders, that is kept in the flow, in the natural, harmonious, concordant flow, so that there is that balance there. Now, that is actually then what is shown through cybernetics. Cybernetics is actually that science which governs changes. At that time when I was thinking about it, in the 1930s and beginning of the 40s, nobody knew about such a thing as cybernetics, because it was only really after John Dolley has shown us the whole chart, namely how really the idea of science first is brought into balance on the level of Christian science by handling the interference factor of evil, how then only in that way slowly thought is rising on a higher level, on the level of absolute Christian science, and finds there its balance again as on the absolute level, that would bring slowly thought on a higher level of divine science, and finding there again the balance of beingness, so that he was showing through that chart, as what we call the chart, through the levels, he was showing, so to say, the cybernetic system that operated in being. He didn't know it, and we didn't know it, but somebody else knew it at that time, namely Professor Wiener. Soon afterwards, after that time, a year or two years afterwards, Professor Wiener began to talk about cybernetics. Cybernetics is that science that governs the changes. So whenever an idea comes spiritually to somebody, it finds its echo somewhere in the universe and is taken up by other people independent of it and gives a contribution to that idea. Once the fundamentals of cybernetics have been found and presented, we could see too that actually that what they say, that cybernetic law consists of four different phases of input, process, output, feedback loop, back to the beginning, bringing back all the information that has been accumulated through the output and brings it back again to the input on a higher level. So suddenly we began to see that chart, which we were studying for a long time, was actually contained a cybernetic system. Namely, actually that what is involved in structuralism, namely the idea of a self-regulation. That self-regulation comes out very, very clearly in the chart. Whenever we work with a chart, and I work a lot with a chart when I have to deal with any problem, I like to go to the chart and deal in my treatment along the chart, not along argumentation and ideas and combining ideas and blending ideas and all that belongs to the time past. I go to the chart and see that wonderful cybernetic system at work. You have those definitions of cybernetics also in the study aid, and especially that way how the chart actually shows the self-regulating and self-organizing system. Can you see what happened? We had the chart on the level of divine science, where we had the word and then the processing of it through the truth, and that the outcome of it, the Christianity of love, and that was our principal love that was feeding back to the word again. That's a homeostasis on the highest level. That homeostasis, because divine science gives us that sense of the oneness of being, is a small b. Not the one being, but the oneness of being, where everything runs according to a harmonious level. In that cybernetic system, then you can see that there is another level, the level of absolute Christian science. And that level of absolute Christian science is the self-regulating level that regulates in a positive way. It's a positive feedback system. It says, if I go out from the one principle, And I begin to see that that one principle always operates through its own idea. Then it operates always to bring out perfect ideas, perfect effect, and that is fed back to the origin. But if in this circuit of input, process, output, something goes wrong, or if there is an interference factor coming in, like disease, like lack, like discord, like false relationship, any discord is an interference factor into the harmony of being. What takes care of it? It is then the level of Christian Science that takes care of the interference factor, and is therefore a negative feedback. So if you look at that whole chart, we'll do that next year in more detail, you can see that the whole chart is actually representing a dynamic system, a dynamic oneness. It's not just the infinite one symbolized in a model that is static, that has these static categories which says, here is the world, here is the Christ, here is Christianity, here is science, or says, here is absolute Christian science, here is divine science. But it shows that this is only a model which, when we understand, is a very dynamic model, a model of dynamics, namely of that principle that constantly operates by itself, takes care, operating by itself, of all the interference factors, also takes care of all the revelation factors, and so has either a negative feedback that wipes out the interference factor, or has a positive feedback on absolute Christian science, which brings back new revelation, new insight into the input, so that the whole being is constantly kept in balance. And that is what Christian Science, the level of Christian Science wants to do. That the level of Christian Science takes care of the interference factor, the level of absolute Christian Science takes care of the revelation factor, the new insights, and brings that back into the input, so that on the level of divine science, you always have a higher sense of balance and a higher sense of understanding of the oneness of being. Can you see what I said? I think I said it yesterday or so, when I was talking about the term infinite that Mrs. Eddy introduced very late into the definition of God, that she had for a long time actually only as adjectives, really only first supreme, incorporeal and supreme. Then in the sixth main revision, she brought in divine. And only way late in 1907, she brought in infinite. So that we had incorporeal, divine, supreme, infinite. Mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. Therefore, only in her last years she put in infinite. Without that, we would not have really a cybernetic system in being. Because without that infinite as a cybernetic system, I pointed out, we would have infinite repetition. We would have infinite repetition of the same thing, always repeating cause and effect. Because the first three symbolize Word, Christ, Christianity, and stop, which would mean that you have a beginning and an end, which means that you have the law of cause leading to an effect, stop, period. Whereas you saw, and that law of cause and effect, you can repeat infinitely. You can always go back to cause and the reason from cause to effect, infinitely. But that's not what she meant with infinite. with infinite relishing and something more. Not as a fourth factor in the cybernetic system, you have the feedback possibility. The feedback that takes what one has gained and puts it in again as a resource from which we can draw. And therefore we fill up the resources more and more. And in this way we spiral up constantly, because always our input is higher and higher and higher, and that is infinite. That has no end. And that is the reason why it is possible that one can have a revelation, a big revelation, like Mrs. Eddy had, and that revelation is infinite in its content, because we began, as we have seen now, up to this point, one could take her revelation, which she may not even have understood herself, because she said only 6 months before she left us to her publisher, I only begin to understand now what I have been writing. That meant if that would be the last thing about her revelation, then her revelation would have had an end with her. But we can see that she put in infinite, because she could see that revelation has a feedback system. Through science, you feed back that revelation into a higher input. And that is the reason why the idea of science could unfold since Mrs. Eddy. Without her being here, without her contributing to the unfoldment. That's a wonder. That's a wonder. Because in the general state of thought in the universe, people think there are only a few who are somehow predestined to receive a revelation. And they are very rare. Here and there, after a few hundred years, there is somebody who has a real revelation from God, because they considered it as a characteristic of some people, which other people don't have. And Mrs. Eddy came and said, that's all theology. Why should one be preferred and the other not? That's why she rebelled already as a 16-year-old child against that thing that some people are saved and the others go to hell and they can never be saved. And that developed really in her that sense which should also be developed in ourselves, that it is not really the attitude just of a chosen one to receive revelation. If God is all, and before God everybody is equal, and if man is the creation of God, then everyone should take part in the revelation of God. But how? Actually not through a mystical sense, because then we have to be mystics, but through science. And she began to show that it is actually possible that if we go the way that the idea was showing, right up from the order to system, from system to structure, from structure to cybernetics, that then everyone who is training himself, culturing himself in structural thinking, in structural consciousness, and has within himself the structure of the main categories of being, that is a sounding board through which really new revelation must come forth. You can't help it anymore. You can't help it anymore. So that revelation becomes a common phenomena for everybody. That's what would be really the aim of Christian Science, that everybody is at the point of revelation, if he is really cultured in this line. So can you see what came out of that first little beginning of asking, is there order? Way back in the 1916, is there order? And that began to develop, to develop, to develop, not through people, but the idea itself demanded it. So that we must be quite clear in our consciousness, really, that it's not people that could evolve the idea of Christian Science, but that it's actually the idea itself that does it. With the cybernetic idea came in another big point, namely a very clear insight that we live in a universe of information, that we live in an information universe. Because cybernetics is what? It's a science of information. Why is it the science of information? Because it has within itself its self-regulating and self-organizing system, which always brings out something more and therefore brings more information. And we see that information is something that is independent of people, that it is a value by itself. When one sees that, one can see that information, what is information? Information means in form, to bring or to give form to something. It is not just a message that I say, I inform you that yesterday I went to bed at 10 o'clock. That's not an information in that sense. Information today is something that is of greatest value to see, because they say information is neither matter nor energy. Now, we believe that our universe consists of matter and energy. And they found out that there is another, a third, at work, which really does not need neither matter nor energy, a third value by itself, which has not been discovered before, called information. Can you think back 200 years? 200 years thinking back, you only had matter. You hadn't any idea about, say, electricity. But electricity had existed always, but nobody knew that electricity existed. Thousands and thousands of years, men did not know that such a thing as electricity existed and did exist. It was just not discovered. So we don't need to think, well, that which has been discovered up to now is the end of all. We actually are in an age where suddenly something new, like electricity, has been discovered and said that has been here before. Today it is information, and it is a value of greatest importance, because information exists as such. It exists without people, it exists without matter, and it exists without energy. Just think of the thermostat. You put the thermostat to a certain degree, and then information starts without that you do anything to it. There is a value there that has nothing to do with matter nor with electricity, that says, I heat that stove down in the cellar and they begin to heat it until there comes an interference factor which says it's too cold now. It heats it up to a point where it says that's enough. The temperature outside says that's enough. And so the stove stops. And for a while, and then the temperature sinks, and it sinks to a certain point where it says it's too cold, and so the heating starts again. You don't have to do anything for the whole season. It is a self-regulating system based not on the iron gadgets that are there. They can't do anything, nor on electricity that says that. You can have other methods than electricity. It works by itself. It's a value that works by itself. Therefore, we begin to see that information is that value in being that organizes everything. And you begin to realize, golly, this is what Mrs. Eddy had discovered long ago. That for her, information is the divine mind. And that the divine mind is that which informs everything. The divine mind is that which influences everything. That divine mind, the moment there comes an interference factor, comes in and says, halt, stop, that's not right. The divine mind controls the body, controls our human affairs, controls our mind. The divine mind is in charge of everything, and the divine mind sees that the homeostasis is kept intact, the homeorese is kept intact. That divine mind is the true information, a new value. And so Mrs. Eddy had said, what I have discovered, that my discovery brought me to the final conclusion that all is mind, and that mind is all in all. And we know that mind as the one intelligence, guiding, steering, leading, that intelligence that is controlling, that is organizing, that is active. It has all the qualities that information has in the cybernetic field of application. Yes. So suddenly we began to see that the textbook really was teaching us something much, much bigger than how we can heal our stomach aches. Much, much bigger. That it is going to show us really what is the inner dynamics of the one infinite being. How that inner dynamics of the one infinite being takes care of itself, so that the one being is constantly held in the homeostasis and in the homeorese, constantly kept in balance, so that it doesn't get out of balance. And it's only if we are not going with it, therefore only if our consciousness is not formed according to the categories of being, that we feel to be outside of it. When we are inside of it, when our consciousness has the same structure as God has, we are in the harmony of being. We are one with the harmony of the Infinite One. That was that point which we began to see at that time.